Glad to be here. Our friend Linda is sick today, so I'm kind of helping out. So I'm hoping that you guys will just get as excited as I am. I also have suckers when we get done. All right. I can't go wrong with candy. So Christmas time is something that we do at our houses, right? Tell me some of the things you do at your house for Christmas.
I open presents.
Open presents.
I usually gain a couple pounds.
You gain only a couple pounds? Lucky you. You don't do anything, Dawson? Nothing at your house for Christmas? You don't do that much? Oh.
Nothing.
Nothing. Oh.
Briley, do you do anything at your house for Christmas?
We put a Christmas tree up.
You put a Christmas tree up? Is there stuff underneath your Christmas tree? There's nothing underneath your Christmas tree. Wow. Holy cow. What kind of parents do we have? Holy smolies. Well, our church is doing something exciting for Christmas, too. Just besides what we see around our sanctuary in the church during Christmas time, we're going to have a really cool program. And it's something new we've never, ever done before. There's a great group of people called a committee that want to do something exciting. So we're still going to have some singing like we did, and we're going to have the children's bell choir. But I want you guys to look at the screen because Dean's going to show us a video just to get you all excited about what this might look like.
To a night in Bethlehem. At this Christmas event, you'll walk the dusty streets of Bethlehem. You'll interact with shopkeepers and participate in fun activities, all while learning that Jesus came to save us. You'll also meet Mary and Joseph and hear about their journey to Bethlehem and what it's like to spend the night in a stable with a newborn baby. You'll remember this night for years to come. So join us as we travel back to that important night, a night in Bethlehem.
It's like we're going back in time, and we're going to turn our church into the little town of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. People are going to be in costumes. We're going to eat some really cool Bethlehem food. We're going to make stuff. Do you wear masks? Nope. Nope. No trick-or-treating. Wrong holiday. That's October. Nope. Not Christmas trick-or-treating. Oh, man, Jack. Oh. So I want to personally invite all of you to come to bring your moms and dads or grandmas and grandpas. But I also would like you to bring a friend. And for those of you that bring a friend or even two, I am personally going to have some gifts for you and your friends that you bring. So I'm going to be watching because I'm going to be here. I'm not going to stare at you. I'm going to be running around here doing something fun and exciting. But I want you guys to get excited too, because it's almost like we're going to be back when Jesus was born. It won't be just our everyday normal church. It's going to be a really cool place to be. That's on Sunday, the 18th of December. I've got these little reminders that you can give out to mom and dad. So take one of these, take them home, put them on the refrigerator. Dawson, can you pass those out down there? If we have extra, you can take some if you want to give them to your friends, maybe people that live next door, maybe somebody you see at school, maybe somebody that's never, ever, ever been to church before would like to come and see what it's going to look like. You just never know. All you got to do is ask. Thanks, Dawson. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to earth and giving us the reason for Christmas. We hope that you are with us every day till Christmas. Thank you for our families and the joy of knowing you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Daniel 6:6 through 27.
So the presidents and satraps conspired and came to the king and said to him, O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an interdict that whoever prays to anyone, divine or human, for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into a den of lions. Now, O king, establish the interdict and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and interdict. Although Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in its upper room open toward Jerusalem, and to get down on his knees 3 times a day to pray to his God and praise him, just as he had done previously. The conspirators came and found Daniel praying and seeking mercy before his God. Then they approached the king and said concerning the interdict, O king, did you not sign an interdict that anyone who prays to anyone, divine or human, within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into a den of lions? The king answered, The thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they responded to the king, Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the interdict you have signed, but he is saying his prayers 3 times a day. When the king heard the charge, he was very much distressed. He was determined to save Daniel, and until the sun went down, he made every effort to rescue him. Then the conspirators came to the king and said to him, Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no interdict or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king gave the command, and Daniel was brought and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to Daniel, May your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you. A stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No food was brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then at the break of day, the king got up and hurried to the den of lions. When he came near the den where Daniel was, he cried out anxiously to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you faithfully serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Daniel then said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so they would not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you. O king, I have done no wrong. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of his den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. The king gave a command, and those who had accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. Before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples and nations of every language throughout the whole world, May you have abundant prosperity. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people should tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, for he has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Please rise for the reading of our gospel, which is from Luke 23, 1 through 5. Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king. Then Pilate asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? He answered, You say no. Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, I find no basis for an accusation against this man. But they were insistent and said, He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began, even to this place. You may be seated.
This is the word of God for we the people of God. Let us say thanks to God.
Lord, we just thank you for our pastor. We thank you for the message that you've given him. We pray for your blessing upon this message and everyone who hears it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So I grew up singing in choirs from when I could first sing. And I remember a spiritual song that we sang in high school and in college. And it comes from the story we just heard You might have heard it before. Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel? Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? Then why not every man? That was popping in my head this morning. Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? Then why not every man? In other words, if he can deliver Daniel, then maybe he can deliver me. And if he can deliver Daniel and he can deliver me, then maybe he can deliver my neighbor down the street who's living in an addiction. Or maybe he can deliver those politicians who we think are a lost cause because of all the corruption we've seen or heard about. Didn't my Lord deliver Daniel? Then why not every man? So, I wasn't sure if you'd heard that before, but that was what was ringing in my heart this morning. But here we are. We've been taking this journey through the Old Testament. We started in Genesis, worked into Exodus, came out of the Exodus, gotten into, we heard the story of Hannah, and then Samuel, and then David. And then we've heard about the prophet Isaiah. And now we're in the prophet Daniel. And Daniel is in the exile. That Israel has been taken away. That the temple has been destroyed. All the covenant curses that they broke, that came upon them because they broke God's covenant. They were unfaithful to God. They were idolatrous. They were cheating on God. They were worshiping things like money and wealth and power and sex and military might and violence instead of God. And they were taken away. The land had suffered. The poor had suffered enough. God heard their cry. And instead of doing the traditional exodus that they had before, the consequences came that God was going to use and bring judgment against Israel by bringing in an outside nation, a nation of heathens, of Gentiles. And the army was going to come. And prophets like Jeremiah warned them that you have to repent, change your ways, turn to God before it's too late. But it was too late. It was too late. And that's a warning for us too, that Jesus is returning. And we only have this life to give ourselves to God. But we shouldn't have to wait till our deathbed moment to change. That we can change today. That we can celebrate the coming of Christ before he returns. When we turn and give our lives to God. And we receive the forgiveness of sins that comes through what Christ did for us on the cross. Where he died for our sins for us. Amen? And God raised him from the dead. Just like God delivered Daniel from the lion's den, God raised Jesus from the depths of death. But Daniel is an Israelite living in exile in Babylon. This mighty kingdom from the east that came in and wiped everything out and they took everyone away. And if you read in the Bible about the story of how the exile happened, it's grisly and bloody and it makes Game of Thrones look tame. But they took them away. They took their best people and they took them back to Babylon. And they used them as slaves. They used them as servants. But Daniel, he had kind of a similar experience like Joseph. Daniel was very talented. The text says that Daniel had an excellent spirit about him. Some interpretations of the Hebrew and the Aramaic says that he had the Holy Spirit upon him. And Daniel had a similar experience to Joseph where he'd come in, you know, in a horrible situation. He'd come out smelling like roses. He kept getting honored and elevated and given more responsibility. And so the kings either feared him or they were impressed with him. And the first king that came around was this wicked king named Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, he issued a decree because he saw himself like a god and had the people worship him. And if the people didn't worship him or worship the idols of Babylon, then they were going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And Daniel had three friends whom their Babylonian names given to them were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You might know that story. They refused to bow down to the king, to the idol. And they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Daniel wasn't, but his three friends were. But then they saw them in the fiery furnace, and they saw a figure next to them, a fourth figure, a messenger, an angel of God. It might have been Jesus himself before he was in the flesh, in the spirit, was with them, and they were not burned. And then they came out, and Nebuchadnezzar, he was eating his words, and he repented. But then his son later, Belteshazzar, he refused to repent and didn't heed the warnings. And there was this writing on the wall, and just like Joseph saw dreams and interpreted them, Daniel had that same gift. And there, it said, many, many tekel parson. Have you heard the saying, the writing's on the wall? Well, the writing was on the wall, literally. There was a hand in the spirit writing this judgment against him. And he's like, what does that mean? And Daniel says, if you don't change, you're going to die. And he didn't change, and he was assassinated. Well, now we're another king, and another king has come to the throne. And his name is the one that we have today. It's Darius. And Darius has assumed the throne. And Darius is afraid of Daniel, but also admires Daniel. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel 6, go to verse 1. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, or supervisors, like a cabinet, stationed throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, including Daniel. So he's risen to the top echelon, just like Joseph did in Egypt. To those satraps gave account so that the king might suffer no loss. And soon Daniel distinguished himself above all the other presidents and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And I say this is the Holy Spirit was in him. And the king planned to appoint him over the whole kingdom. And so the other people were jealous. They were envious. And they were intimidated by Daniel because Daniel had this Holy Spirit. Daniel was so skilled in all these things that were forbidden to Israelites, but he had to learn those things because that was the way of life, the divination, the black magic, the sorcery, all these interpretations and things. That was how they did things in Babylon in their government. Everything was corrupt, and it was in this idolatrous religious system. But God gave favor to Daniel, and he was doing these forbidden things because God was enabling him to. So they were freaked out with Daniel because Daniel was kind of like Harry Potter on steroids. So it says that the presidents and satraps tried to find grounds for complaint against Daniel in connection with the kingdom. But they could find no grounds for complaint or any corruption. Why? Because he was faithful. And no negligence or corruption could be found in him. Oh, if we would have had people like that during the election seasons of the past few years. People who were faithful and had no corruption. But the men said, we shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. So it says they conspired and they came to the king and said to him. So they set him up. It was a setup. It was a trap. And they flattered the king, as Linda read earlier. And they had him sign that law, that edict, that everyone had to worship the king and give homage to him and to no one else. But Daniel was faithful. Daniel was so faithful in his time in Babylon. Instead of eating the unclean foods, he decided to go on a diet that some people call the Daniel diet today. He became a vegetarian because he didn't want to eat unclean foods. He didn't want to eat anything that had to do with the idolatrous system, the corruption of that place that he lived in. And he prayed three times a day. It says, although Daniel knew the document had been signed, he continued to go to his house, which had windows in its upper room open towards Jerusalem, and to get down on his knees three times a day to pray to his God and praise him, just as he has done previously. We can learn a lot from Daniel. We can learn that Daniel set himself apart from his peers, not because of his achievements, but because of the Holy Spirit that he had that enabled him to do great things. He didn't trust in his own abilities. Daniel trusted in God to help him do the job and to do the job better than everyone else. But Daniel also trusted God, even if it meant breaking the law in an act of civil disobedience, if you will. He prayed three times a day. Now, three times a day might seem like a lot to some of you. To some of you, that might not seem like very much prayer. But he prayed three times a day. So morning, lunch, and dinner, Daniel was praying. He was praying. And it says he was, in verse 11, it says, the conspirators came and they found Daniel praying and seeking mercy before his God. Now, we don't know if this was just seeking mercy for Daniel's self or for his people, but I like to think that Daniel was not just seeking mercy for himself or even the Israelites, but for the whole kingdom, because he knew that God would bring judgment on any corrupt kingdom. And when they hear the word of God and they don't repent, judgment comes because of the consequences of their actions. And so I believe that Daniel was praying and seeking mercy, not just for himself and the Israelites, but for the whole nation of Babylon that he lived in. Everyone, even his enemies, he was praying and seeking mercy before his God. So we can learn from Daniel where we can pray and seek mercy for our people, for ourselves, our families, our community, and our nation, and our world, and even our enemies. But then they come back to the king and they throw the king's words in his face. And the king is in a position in Babylon, if you were to go back on your word, you were seen as weak. And then there'd be a coup and people would kill you because you were seen as not having integrity or not having follow through. You were a hypocrite. You couldn't be a hypocrite as a king. They eat you alive. And so he was afraid of people. And the king wasn't necessarily a God-fearing man at that point. And so his hands were tied. But he had a special affection. He had a special interest in Daniel. And so it says in verse 14, when the king heard the charge, he was very much distressed. And he was determined to save Daniel. And until the sun went down, he made every effort to rescue him. So we can learn things not just from Daniel from the story, but we can learn from King Darius. That King Darius, he was distressed to see someone in need. He was determined to save them, and he made every effort to rescue them. Are there people in your life who need rescue? Have you given up on them? Or are you still doing everything you can to save them? Are you seeking God and praying three times a day for mercy for them? Are you keeping in contact with them? Are you calling them? Are you knocking on their door and checking in on them? Are you offering them alternatives to the way that they're living without condemning them? He did everything he could, it says. And then he says that in verse 16, it says, the king gave the command and Daniel was brought and thrown into the lion's den. But here's what the king says to Daniel. This pagan king says to Daniel, whom he respects because he's blameless and lives this life of integrity and excellence. He says, may your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you. May your God, whom you faithfully serve, deliver you. And it says, a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, so that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. That's foreshadowing when Jesus was crucified on the cross and they laid him in that tomb and they rolled the stone over the tomb and they put a wax seal on it so that no one could get in or get out. It's foreshadowing this. Just like Daniel was thrown in the den of the lions, Jesus went into Sheol, into the place of the dead, in the tomb. And here's what happens next with the king. Verse 18, the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. He fasted and no food was brought to him and sleep fled from him. He was moved with compassion and mercy, and he was willing to sacrifice his own comforts to pray for another. Just like we were praying earlier for people's healing. There are times where God moves me to fast. If someone's having like a surgery or some dire prognosis and it's like emergency prayer time, my default now is to go to fasting, because Jesus taught that some things can't be cast out or some things can't be healed unless there's fasting and prayer. And here's this pagan king who has observed Daniel in his piety and his faithfulness, And it started to rub off on him. And so, just like Daniel probably prayed for him or fasted for him and he saw Daniel fast, so now he is trying it out for himself and fasting and praying. And you know what? We said earlier that God hears our prayers, amen? If God hears your prayers and my prayers, he also hears the prayers of the Gentiles or the pagans. So he heard this King Darius's prayer. And of course, he gets up at the break of the day, and he gets up and he hurries to the den of the lions. Just like the women hurried to the tomb. They hurried to the tomb to go prepare and to go prepare the body and to go see, is he really there? And they got there. Of course, the women, after Jesus was dead in the tomb, on the third day he rose again, and they got there, and the angel said, he's not here, he's risen. And foreshadowing that in this story, he gets to the den of the lions, and he came near the den where Daniel was. He cried out anxiously to God. But here's what he cries out. He cries out this thing that's faithful in itself. He says, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you faithfully serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Now, why would you say that? Why would you say that unless you didn't believe it? Because if he says that and he's not there, you wouldn't hear anything, right? But he says it with faith. He says, has your God, whom you faithfully serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel then said to the king, oh, king, live forever. He's so happy to see the king because he's alive. My God sent his angel or his messenger and shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no wrong. My God sent his angel or his messenger, someone bringing good news, to shut the lions' mouths so they would not hurt me. What a great, great story. And it says the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no harm was found on him because, and this is what we learned from Daniel, he trusted in his God. Do you trust in our God, in your God? Do you place your whole trust and your hope in Jesus Christ to deliver you from the lion's den in your life? To shine light into the darkness of our world? To deliver us so that we can shine the light of Christ and be messengers of hope for the people around us who are in their own lion's den? Do you trust in God? If so, say amen. Amen. We can learn a lot from Daniel. We can learn a lot from King Darius. And King Darius, he puts his stamp on this story and ends up throwing the other people. It's kind of tragic. He throws the people that conspired against him to the lion's den, and they get that form of retribution in that way, the way they did justice. But he makes this decree, and he writes to all peoples and all nations. Did you hear that? He writes it to all peoples and all nations. Where have we heard that before in this fall? We've heard it in God's blessing for Abraham. The prophecy for Abraham is that God made a covenant with Abraham that you will have many descendants who are numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands in the sea. And I will give you a great name. And your descendants will be a blessing to all nations. Well, his descendants are exiled in Babylon, but they're still there. And here is the king over these descendants. And he says to all nations and all people, every language throughout the world, may you have abundant prosperity. He says that in all my royal dominion, people should tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. That his is the real God. He is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. His dominion has no end. This is the good news about Jesus Christ. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, for he has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. And it says, so this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian, so even in another empire. But my challenge for us today is, do you realize that you can be in this story, and this story can be in your life, where you can be the hands and feet of Jesus, that you can be the messenger of hope that comes to shut the mouths of lions in people's lives. That you can show mercy and compassion on the poor. That you can forgive your loved ones who need forgiveness so that God can change them. That you are the ones that can give them the greatest gift of all that you've received, Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? That we don't have to wait on angels in heaven, but that you get to be God's angels in this world. That we can share that good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.